listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Alive for More, a dialogue with Catholic young adults produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire the universal call to holiness. And now, Alive for More.
Welcome back to Alive for More. My name is Father Nick Ventura, and I'm joined in the studio by Jenna Zins, Joel Yarmish, and Trisha Kasson. And before we begin, let's go ahead and start off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, everything that we have in life is a gift from you. Help us to understand how we can draw closer to you by our daily living, and prepare for that time where we pass from this life into eternal life. And we ask this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, on A Life for More, we kind of try to cover a variety of topics, but one topic that kind of applies not only to young adults, but to everyone, is that everybody dies. I mean, I know that's kind of a heavy hitter right there.
But there it is.
Everybody dies. Mm-hmm. And it's all something that we all kind of have to process, and you know, we will see people in our own lives pass on. But for us, when we're talking about, you know, it's kind of strange when we're on a show called Alive for More, and we're going to talk about death. What does that mean? And but the thing is, I think there's a beautiful line, actually, from the funeral liturgy at the preface, right before we go into the Eucharistic prayer. The preface for the dead, there's a line in there, for the Christian, Lord, life is changed, not ended. Mm. And I think that is a beautiful kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you're not a Christian, it's still like we're made with immortal souls. Life doesn't end once this mortal body passes on. It can still continues on. And so, you know, life is changed, not ended. And, you know, just in that context, we can kind of talk about what it means to kind of live in the world where people do die. Mm-hmm. And how, what it means to have a, just this entire concept. And so, you know, I think this is a really heavy topic, and really it applies to everybody. And so this is probably just something to kind of sit with and meditate on. You know, St. Francis de Sales used to always say, every single day, you should think about your death.
That's actually what's on my wedding ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, sort of. There was an old friend. It's just some sort of a monk order, mm-hmm. and what they would greet each other with is the phrase "memento mortis," which is remember, basically loosely translated, remember that you will die, and mm-hmm. that means that every action that you take in life is leading up to something, mm-hmm. and as a Christian, I believe that when I die, there's, I guess, one of two things that are going to happen. I'm going to go downstairs, or I'm going to eventually go upstairs, right?
Right.
To put it, I guess...
colloquially, I suppose.
Yeah. And I think that it's... my wife and I discussed it when we put it on my ring, that it's true that every day you make individual decisions, and at the end of your life, God doesn't really decide, you know, whether you go up or you go down. It's the decisions that you make every day along your path, along your journey, that decide what happens. And it's a call to remember that day will come.
Yeah. And so, like, this is important. Is like, why? Why do we die? Why does this happen? Why would a good God allow this apparent separation from life? And I heard this really great explanation from an old priest once. He said, you know, yes, at the surface, death seems like a punishment. But remember, our God is a good God. Mm-hmm. Death is ultimately a mercy, because sin brings in suffering. Sin brings in disorder. Mm-hmm. Sin causes suffering. And so death is just that final release, not in the sense that it is something that we can control, but it's God saying, okay, no, you don't need to suffer from this anymore. I do not want you to live a life destined for suffering. That sort of thing. And, you know, I think right now it's just processing it. I know when I was a kid, there were, I know Trisha and Joel are familiar with this. We had a lot of tragic moments in school. We lost a seventh grade teacher. We lost a classmate, you know, just really serious moments. And there was a time in my life where I hated going to funerals. I hated just kind of, because it just made me try to encounter, I felt like it was forcing me to encounter something that I was like, I'm too young to think about that.
Because you don't fully understand what it is.
I didn't understand what it was for or why we do it. And nowadays, I can do a funeral, I mean, not batting an eye, because I'm still very emotionally invested with these people, but now it's just like, no, this is what I'm here for. I'm not going to run away from this. I actually remember when I was training to be an altar server, I told the trainer, I don't want to serve funerals. I can't do that. But now it's just like, this is something that is a part of my regular life.
You know, it's interesting, at those same funerals you mentioned, Father Nick, I was also young and in the same class as Father Ventura. And the one death of our teacher, who was young and fully alive, and he died suddenly, was when we were going into our eighth grade year, and he had been our seventh grade teacher. And when you speak about your conversion, or when you finally accepted the love of Christ or took on the faith for yourself, without a doubt, it was at his funeral. I remember my mindset was I was going to go into high school and, you know, go to parties and drink alcohol and date as many boys as I wanted and try to be the most popular and the most athletic and, you know, go to college, and had a very like relativistic worldly view of what my future was going to hold. And after he died, I was sitting at praying at his funeral and just struck with the truth that, as Joel was saying, there is a good and an evil, and just struck with that, like, there's no way this young teacher who was so kind to us and so alive and so full of life is just ceases to exist now. You know, I was just knew in my heart that there was something more. And I think that's what death does. It makes us face like the fact that our consequences have actions, and we can't just do, like, I realized in that moment I was about to go into high school and I couldn't just like do whatever I wanted walk on whoever I wanted.
Somewhere. Yeah. It would lead somewhere.
Yeah, because there were going to be consequences for my actions. You know, just the beginning of our faith can sometimes be fear. Yeah, does that make sense? I guess death has always been a moment of conversion for me.
Yeah, sure. It can always be that waking moment or something.
Well, and I think it's impressive to me, and this is why I love the Catholic Church, that you had that moment at a Catholic funeral. Mm-hmm. I think a Catholic funeral is the perfect way to mourn, to be reminded. And the music director at St. Matthew Parish, where I work, she did a lot of research when she came onto the parish and was, you know, helping us to get back into doing everything the church asks for all of the liturgies. And one of the things that she reminded me of about Catholic funerals is that we are all equal in death. Where, you know, Michael Jackson might have fireworks and 95,000 people, you know, and the Pope, you know, people will be crying in the streets. And then Sally Joe, who dies, you know, around the corner with no living family. We are all equal in death. And it is that moment where we have the obligation and the great responsibility and the joy to pray for anyone who is on their way to the Lord.
And that's actually a corporal work of mercy, is to bury the dead. Burying the dead doesn't mean just go dig a hole and put someone there. It means, you know, being with the family, or, you know, praying for the deceased, having a mass offered for them, you know, trying to. And the thing is, that is also the beautiful thing about the Catholic Church, is that you don't have to be Catholic to have a mass said for you.
Right.
If you die and you have a family member who's passed away and they weren't Catholic, you can still, they may not get a Catholic funeral because they may not want that or something like that. But, you know, you could always have a mass said on behalf for intercession for them. It is that is something that we're happy to engage with. This we're happy to engage with this change in life. And just as a reminder, you're listening to Alive for More on St. Gabriel Radio AM 820. My name is Father Nick Ventura. I am joined in the studio by Jenna Zins, Joel Yarmish, and Trisha Kasson. And today, we're talking about death and that reality. Not necessarily this is a depressing show. Mm-hmm. There's hope. There's always hope. But, you know, it's just, this is something that we all have to encounter. Remember, you can catch us Thursdays at noon, Sundays at 3, or online, on demand, at stgabrielradio.com. And we were just talking about, like, the Catholic liturgy and how it's very appropriate to kind of mourn. And I think, Jenna, you said it's you think it's the perfect way to mourn. Why would you, I mean...
Sure.
Why would you say something like that?
And this started, I think my realization began... About maybe, I think it was 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, a good friend of mine died in a car accident just out of the blue. And he was a good man, very funny. Mm-hmm. He loved life and he loved his friends and family, but he had no real religious convictions. And I remember his funeral was at, I think, maybe a Methodist church in the town where we were, just based on where the community was able to come together. And I remember looking at so many of his friends and family who were just despairing. Mm-hmm. And it was some of the worst raw emotion I'd ever seen in other people to see them experiencing that loss. And I thought, oh, if they only knew Jesus, mm-hmm. if there was only a moment where we could corral all these people together and have them hear the word of the Lord that is comfort and strength, and then receive the Lord who can be our only consolation in those moments. Right. And I just, my heart broke on behalf of those who were despairing because they didn't have a place to contemplate death. They didn't have a place to contemplate loss. And it is the Lord, I know, who walked me through that in that experience.
And the Lord who experienced that himself. Yes. As we read in Scripture, like when his best friend died, he wept.
Yeah.
And just the beauty of that we can love so much and love like Christ loved that we do feel such sadness and separation.
I mean, because there is a separation, and it's something you kind of address there. It is, you know, we have to want to encounter it. I mean, that is, it's a part of our life. All too often in our society, we want to say, nope, mm-hmm. not going to die. Mm-hmm. I am not going to die, or my friends are never going to die. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of want to ignore it. And, you know, it's, I'm not just saying because where are you going to go? You know, those billboards you see on the side, especially on 71.
Right.
Yeah. Those aren't bad billboards. I'm not saying they're awful, but just like you say, where are you going to go when you die? No, we shouldn't think about death as out of fear, even though it can be a helpful kind of moment of conversion. But we should also think about it in the sense of like, okay, how can I process this? Mm-hmm. Where can I find hope when I experience this separation?
Yeah, and I think that is, I guess what I'm saying, I think that's sort of not from God. That is from Satan trying to pull a trick on us. I mean, because we are so bombarded in our everyday life saying that we are measured by our materialistic goods, how much we make, how much is my house bigger than your house? So we think that life is about accumulating things. And so you see at the end of the day that this person had more to accumulate in this world. This person had more mm-hmm. to make. This person needed to get more out of this world. And we forget that where we're going to next is the Taj Mahal compared to, you know, a mud shack. I mean, we're going to somewhere so much better, and there's something so much nicer in store for us, but we're tricked by the world that we live in, that this is the best that we have to offer.
Yeah.
And it helps to remind me in times when times are bad here, when life gets hard, when I get frustrated, when I'm unhappy, that there's something so much better waiting for me. And then when you get to the end, you know, when you get to your death and other people can see that, they're convinced too that what you had here was the best that anything could offer you. And it's not true.
And it lacks. And there's a sort of lack of letdown, like, wait, so I build all this up and at the end I'm still going to die? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's it? I mean, the Lord talked about it in Scripture. It was like the man who built his barns and all this stuff, and he was being challenged, like, you fool. Mm-hmm. Tonight your life will be demanded of you. What good will any of your accumulating of worldly wealth do you at your death? Other than having fireworks and
whatever,
stuff at your funeral. At the same time, I mean, and it kind of leads me into, I've encountered some family members where a loved one has died and they say, well, you know, well, they didn't really want anything big and we didn't want to have a mass because they didn't want anything big. And I was like, not to be crass here, but mm-hmm. they're dead. Mm-hmm. This is also for you. I mean, the funeral liturgy is not just about the person who has died, but it's the entire body of Christ coming together to both pray for that person, pray for us, and to experience the Lord's loving kindness in a moment of conversion. And I think, I mean, that's one thing I always try to go into whenever I'm going to offer a funeral mass is like, there's going to be people here who don't go to church, mm-hmm. chances are. And that's why I really spend a lot of time trying to work on my homily, trying to say, Lord, the Lord has something to offer to us.
And it's a reminder, right? It's a reminder to us every time we go to a funeral mass
yeah.
that this person has lived and this person is going somewhere now.
Yeah, precisely.
Father Franks, who's a great priest in our parish, always says it's a celebration of life. And you are listening to A Life for More on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to us online or on demand at stgabrielradio.com. I'm here with Father Nick Ventura, Jenna Zins, and Mr. Joel Yarmish, and we are talking about death and, you know, death in the young adult's life and, you know, how we process it, what it means in our walk and our faith. In particular, we're talking about the funeral mass mm-hmm. and how that can be a great celebration.
Of someone's life, of celebration of the Lord's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a real danger of, like, you know, trying to say where someone's going mm-hmm. After death. In mm-hmm. fact, I had a very long conversation with somebody who was saying, talking about how can you guys say this person's in heaven or this person's in hell? And I would say, well, we don't.
Right.
Now, we do talk about canonized saints, but that's not something we declare to be so. We look at consequences. We look at evidence and say, trusting them to be in heaven is a good bet. Mm-hmm. As it were.
Right.
And so, like, or they were saying, how can you say that someone's going to hell? I was like, no, we don't. I mean, we don't say where someone's going. We just say, all right, we gather together now to pray for this person.
And in fact, I mean, I don't want to tell people what to do, but we should be praying that people don't go to hell.
Like, correct.
We should be praying for the conversion of their soul, which my wife is really, really good about doing, and she's lives
especially
a great
example. For you.
I'm sure she does. I hope she prays daily for me. But yeah, she's a great example, and just the way that she genuinely prays for all those who she gets along with, those who she does not get along with. I think that she leads by example, and I think that's something that we're all called to do.
Well, and I think, you know, that's a very important point about attending a funeral liturgy is that reminder that, oh, yeah, we are from dust and to dust we return. We are mm-hmm. from God and to God we return.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember, you know, the Catechism tells us it's those who die in God's grace and friendship. There are very specific ways to be in God's grace and friendship. That's what we should want for every single person in our life. Not that they're kind of a nice person. Not that at the very last moment the Lord will have, you know, this grand gesture of mercy. Yes, we can count on those things, and yes, we appreciate those things. But when we die, it's those in God's grace and friendship. It's very explicit that those are the ones who get to see the glory of God. So right. How do we be people, as young adults, as sons, daughters, wives, husbands, friends, co-workers, cousins, how do we encourage people to be in God's grace and friendship, you know, so that at the moment of the funeral, we can rejoice in that?
Yeah, and I think you're kind of hitting on a point where something I always talk to people about, especially in the funeral homily, is like, all right, you see these good things, these good qualities of this person that's inspiring you to want to live better. Just think, living for God, how many good qualities we would be able to exhibit
mm-hmm.
because the quality of a person's death shouldn't be how many family members that they have or how many people are at their funeral,
mm-hmm.
but is that whether or not by their life here on earth, they're able to inspire people to follow after their master, Jesus
right.
Christ.
Right.
I mean, we should all be sacraments in ourselves pointing to something greater. That not just pointing, but it exists in our own heart. And I mean, I know at other times where we talk about where we try to have a generosity of spirit, have an open heart, where when people encounter us, they should encounter Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that even in our death, people are realizing, I've truly encountered Christ in this person's life, and so now I want to be inspired by that. And, you know, that's kind of the more the positive spin of death, of wanting to set a good example. But, you know, also on just maybe not necessarily negative, but just on the more somber note, as I said at the very beginning of the show, kind of as a heavy brick, everybody dies. There's going to be a moment we all will face death. We don't know the day nor the hour. And so, like, if we think that we're going to be invincible, or that even, I mean, the thing is that we should always be prepared to go. Like, to be those passengers ready to grab our bags and when the master calls.
And not just prepared, but unafraid.
Yeah.
I think we live in a culture that, as much as we embrace death in certain things like abortion or human trafficking or the way, you know, the really intense war, I think we can embrace death. But I also think on an individual level, we sprint from it. And we avoid thinking about it at all costs. We think the right foods will keep us from any illness. We think the right decisions with our cars will keep us from any accidents. And we get this list in our lives where we say, okay, in this way, I'm safe from it. In this way, I'm safe from it. But we should be confident and unafraid of death, because it is the moment in some ways that we were made for. We were made to be with Jesus. We were made to have this eternal life that is glorious beyond all measure. And so we want to be not just, you know, okay, I think about it, I think about it, I think about it, but to be courageous in the face of it, and not to seek it, obviously, responsibly.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, not in some sort of release from suffering, not like seeking it on our own.
Right,
I mean, like, the elephant in the room is like talking about suicide. We're not necessarily talking about seeking it that way.
No, no.
But, you know, we're talking about being not afraid of it. The reason why we're not afraid of it is because we have Christ. We have the Lord waiting for us, who passed through the gates of death and then came back from it to say, come after me, follow me. I have set the path. And, you know, that is what we live for. It's why we are wanting to follow Christ. And just as a reminder, you're listening to Alive for More on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Father Nick Ventura, and we're talking with Jenna Zins, Joel Yarmusch, and Trisha Kasson about death and being prepared for it.
Speaking on, you know, just going into death unafraid, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, all of you, that there, you know, we are going to meet our maker and we will never be more fulfilled. But as an oncology nurse, I can say that, you know, watching and having the great honor of taking care of people who are dying and watching deaths, it's a very human thing to be afraid
death. Right.
And it's a very, it's because you are about to embark on something new. And when we start something new, it's scary, right?
Yeah.
Our first day of kindergarten, it's scary. You know, the first show we ever recorded, it's scary.
Anything unknown.
Yeah, anything unknown, and just something, a change, and something new can cause anxiety, can make you scared. And I think, you know, something that I really love, and Father, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in the old Mass, in the Latin Rite, so before Vatican II, it was, I think, normal, or maybe part of that, you would pray for the priest who would give you last rites at the end of each Mass.
Well, you should do that at every Mass. It's not just from pre-Vatican II. But it was especially emphasized, like there was a specific prayer and stuff like that. But today, you should do that. You should pray for the priest who's going to give you last rites.
We've lost practice, or praying to St. Joseph for a peaceful death. And and we can start those practices now, even though we're, you know, young and we feel invincible and we're never going to die. But, you know, that's something I don't do. I don't pray for a peaceful death. And I think if it's a thought that causes us anxiety,
it's like, oh, wait, if I pray for this now, am I going to die tomorrow?
Right.
Yeah, right. And that's not the intent at all.
No, and there's a great reverence in dying, and it is something that is scary and unknown, but when it finally happens, there is a great awe, like a wonder and awe and a reverence. And no matter what you believed, really, or you know, how scary it is, once it happens, there's reverence.
And there are always emotions. People are always afraid to experience emotions too. Like, people don't want to grieve, they don't want to be afraid, and it's like, okay, no, we have these emotions for a reason. I mean, we react these ways for a reason. And so, you know, embracing, not necessarily acting irrationally with them is what I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying embrace it and go, okay, I feel this way. This is how I feel right now. It's something I always tell people who are mourning, particularly children who are mourning an elderly parent. Like, listen, you're going to have moments where it's going to be great. You're going to have moments where the grief is going to hit you like a truck mm-hmm. holding a ton of bricks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just kind of have to walk in that moment.
And much like a lot of our, a lot of the matters of faith, despite what our culture will tell you, you do not control your death. You have no control over your death, and nor should you have control over your death. Life is a gift from God. And I think that's what scares a lot of people about death, is that they feel so powerless and have so little control over their death. And I think that that is a key part of people's growing in faith, is learning that they have to give away control of their life completely to God. And that's what we're called to do in our faith.
Exactly. And I think we could talk a very long time about this topic, but I think this is just a good start. If you've been nervous about death before, don't be afraid to talk to other people about it. Like, to say, to help you process, you're not alone. Don't ever think you're alone in this. Everybody will go through this. So, again, my name is Father Nick Ventura. I'm joined in the studio by Jenna Zins, Joel Yarmusch, and Trisha Kasten, and we're on a Live for More. Unfortunately, our time has closed together. So, Trisha, would you like to close us off with prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we just pray that our hearts will be ready for you. We pray for a friendship with your most sacred heart. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until next time, pray for us, and we'll pray for you.
Alive for More is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Alive for More and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.